That's what makes the Marvel Hulk more superior. The prosthetic dick.
Prosthetic dick. Very realistic.
Perfect.
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates within Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Fell Grey, hot.
Hello and welcome to the Incomplete Series. This is a podcast where we watch the first episode of a TV series and then the very last episode of that TV series and just try and figure out what happened in the middle. Joining me to do this is my good friend, Jeremy Wiseman. Jerome, it's good to see you.
Good to see you too.
It is.
Good to see you too. Although, we don't record this in the same room anymore.
No, we don't. It's all remotely recorded.
No. Well, you three are in the same room, but I'm in a separate booth.
It's true. And actually, we add in your dialogue later. So we are. Jeremy, you're not actually here right now when I'm talking to you.
Yeah, it's like the end of like Fast and Furious 6 or whatever, where the one where
Paul Walker
died before they could finish filming it. And then they just CGI'd him in. It's true. I died 2 years ago, and it's just CGI voice.
So the man that sits before us as we're recording
CGI
is actually
voice. Is that?
Yeah. Like a deep fake.
Yeah.
So I think CGI is the correct term. That's what we're saying. Yeah.
So anyway, Jeremy's not actually here, but welcome to his brother Tristan Wiseman, who's filling in for him today.
Hey, don't reveal family secrets.
Oh, sorry, man.
We'll beep that out.
We'll take that out. Anyway, and also to the right of, it doesn't matter. Why do I even talk about the positions? Here also is Aaron Bowden. How are you?
Maybe you should be like, you know, in footy commentary when they toss a coin and they're like, such and such is kicking to the left of your radio dial.
Yeah. Like, maybe we need that.
No, I don't think we need
that. To the side of your back 15 seconds option on your podcast app.
on your right ear is Aaron.
Ah, cool.
Do they do that in football? Do they do they use the stereo to
kicking
kind
to the
of...
left of screen.
Do they actually do that?
Man, I haven't thought about that since about 1998.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. It's a little cool.
Yeah. I didn't know they did that.
Yeah. Well, welcome to sports.
I'm going to start integrating
Scott,
that into the podcast. The more right-wing Morgan's views are, the further to the right I'm going to put them in the headphones.
That's some, very... I know, subliminal commentary on Morgan's politics.
I mean, I've always thought this podcast is a great, great platform to push my political agenda.
And your abilities.
Scott, I'm getting nothing in the left ear.
And now joining me in the deep, deep right is Scott.
I think you'll find I am right smack bang in the center. Hello, Morgan.
Scott's more of an alt-right.
Center, sorry, an alt right. Okay, more radical.
The third headphone.
I don't know where to put the alt right.
Exactly.
Just hold alt.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hold alt on the keyboard. Yeah. Great.
Hold. One more time.
The incredible alt.
The incredible alt.
Right. that's way better than the reboot I've got.
I got two, and they're both way shitter.
Damn it. What is that? Is that like Richard Spencer hulking out or something?
Richard Spencer, the incredible alt. Right. Yeah. All right. I'm gonna think about that. And then when we come back to reboots.
We've come in hot this way.
We've come in real hot. I was going to say, this room just got warmer.
Yeah, it did.
Not that we're in a room. We're outside because we're so far right.
We do this
right
in a field.
Outside the house.
Yeah. Confident.
We get the best acoustics.
In a dewy meadow.
A giant open field.
Exactly. Nothing like the dead of winter in Melbourne and recording, you know. Random dialogue about a random 1970s show. Wow, really lost my head there. It's all those ocean sounds you keep putting into the microphones. Can you edit those out?
I can double them.
Oh, good. Yeah. Cool. They can only get louder. You can't actually take them down.
No.
That's how editing works.
That's okay. I've explained this before.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So, The Incredible Hulk. How did we end up getting to The Incredible Hulk? Because I don't think this has been on our list for a little
while. It hasn't.
It's just something that's come out of nowhere.
I guess with all the Marvel craze, it's a wonder we didn't get
Marvel?
To this sooner. Yeah.
What's Marvel?
DC.
There we go. Makes sense. The more popular, the less popular version of DC is what Marvel is. Okay. The less successful DC.
That's a really bad joke.
There was something.
We
almost grabbed it.
Yeah.
And it just slipped away.
Yeah. Not happy with it?
Nah.
You want to run it back?
No, let's
have another.
Going.
Have another go.
Okay. But yeah, The Incredible Hulk. So how did we get here?
Somebody suggested.
I think I suggested it. It just, someone mentioned it to me. I can't remember who, so I won't bother trying to give them credit.
Okay, good.
Eric Banner?
It might have been
Edward Norton?
Guy. Yeah, Eddie someone. Don't know.
Mark Ruffalo?
Yeah, it just seemed right up our alley. I'm surprised we hadn't thrown it up there before.
Yeah, I tell you what I find most interesting about this show is the fact that of all the like superheroes that are out there, like from the Marvel angle, it's weird that this one seems to have the oldest like TV show. Like yeah. I don't think Captain America had a TV show. I don't think any of the other ones did. But 1978, for some reason, that seemed like an appropriate thing to bring up.
Yeah, why did they latch onto this in particular? Yeah, maybe it's because it's probably the most sci-fi of the...
Mm.
I don't know, there's some sort of...
The nuclear age.
Yeah, the nuclear age. The 70s was when, you know, that was sort of booming. And then you're not too far off Chernobyl. You're not too far from...
It's the sweet spot.
Mm. Yeah, from the, you know, end of World War II. People are fixated on this idea of... radiation doing horrible things to your body.
Like doing wonderful things.
Like turning you into Lou Ferrigno.
And like you can just kind of throw out things like, oh, we just cranked the gamma rays up to 3 million units. And everyone's like, oh, yeah.
That sounds like science.
Cool. It's like Lou Ferrigno's tanning bed.
on the scale, on the Smallville scale, I still think the science was ahead of the electrolyte science.
That was one of the things I was going to say early was that the lead up to the event of him just injecting gamma rays into his brain was all seemed like semi-plausible science.
Yeah.
I was like, this isn't too bad.
Mm. It's not pseudoscience.
And
I don't know if
this is the origin story that they've used in the Marvel movies, but how he's looking for people like him who were in the same situation as him but got out of it because they were able to tap into this reservoir of strength that apparently all humans have in them.
Yeah, but he didn't because he didn't love his wife enough.
But how could she find the strength and I couldn't? You heard her story, my God, that's exactly what happened to me. Except that her son is alive and Laura is dead.
Yeah, apparently. Mm. Apparently.
I've never seen the Edward Norton iteration of the Hulk.
No, me neither. I don't think anyone has. I haven't seen the Eric Banner one. I haven't seen the Edward Norton one.
I've seen the Eric Banner one.
I saw the Eric Banner one, and me and my two friends were literally the only people in the cinema.
That's not surprising.
Ooh. As 12-year-olds, it was great.
At the premiere.
Was this the same?
You and Eric Banner,
yep.
Your childhood friend.
At the Chinese theater in Hollywood.
Was this the... Was it the same premise? Is it like him? Was he doing the same research?
He's always a scientist.
He's a scientist,
right?
Yeah.
I think the type of research.
I thought his dad was involved somehow.
Probably.
I can't remember. Mm. I remember Sam Elliott's in it, and he's like
who is Sam Elliott?
He's like the cowboy out of the Big Lebowski. He's a narrator.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Star is Born. He's the brother.
I haven't seen that one.
Right. He's in that show on Netflix with Ashton Kutcher, The Ranch.
Oh, no. Great.
Yeah, I know. It's right up your alley.
He gets typecast as like a cowboy type of
So, line. Yeah. It was me, Eric Banner, and Sam Elliott at the premiere. Just
big time.
Yeah, running We're around gonna the recut- theater, hiding behind the curtains. Yeah.
But Sam Elliott was just punching tickets.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, you know.
It's got to get work somewhere.
No, he was the usher walking down the aisles telling Aaron and Eric Banner.
Shut up. Shut up.
Told you before.
Stop throwing Maltesers at each other.
Exactly. Was Edward Norton there or was he just a child then?
No, he was driving the limo. Dropped him off.
I'll sell Edward Norton. Well, anyway,
he's researching a part.
Method acting.
Is there a new Hulk movie, like standalone Hulk movie?
I think.
Yeah, wasn't there? There was a Ruffalo one.
No, I don't think so.
You sure?
No, I think it's just the Avengers, right?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, I think they used the Edward Norton one as the origin story standalone movie.
And he's in Thor as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they had two big, because the Eric Banner one was a massive failure, and I know the Edward Norton one was actually worse somehow.
I wonder what it is. Why did this Hulk, like the idea of the Hulk resonate so well in the 70s and it just doesn't latch now?
The nuclear age.
What's changed, you think?
It's a different time to be alive.
Less plausible.
Lou Ferrigno.
That's the missing.
There's your common denominator.
And he's gone from turning into like...
He was in the Eric Banner one.
He's a security guard.
Oh, right.
In the 70s one, he goes from a 5'8" scientist guy to like a 6'5" dude that's within the realms of human possibility.
They describe him as special effects in 1978.
Yeah. But then in the Eric Banner one, he goes from, you know, like a 6 foot guy to like 10'6" and can throw tanks around. Yeah. Like, I don't know, maybe they jumped the shark a little bit in terms of his...
His powers,
yeah.
Anyway, we're getting way off track.
We are. So maybe we should... Let's jump into episode one and then we'll run it back from there.
After losing his wife in a traumatic car accident, David Banner researches with close friend Elena Marks to find out how others can perform incredible feats of strength in times of emotional stress.
And it happened. Somehow, I was... lifting up the car.
When they zoom in 1 million times on human DNA, they discover an anomaly that when exposed to gamma radiation peaks, a human grows multiple times stronger. So naturally, David douses himself in 3 million units of gamma radiation, crashes his car, and mutates into a giant Hulk. After causing a ruckus, journalist Jack McGee is snooping around and inadvertently causes the death of Elena and the incrimination of the Hulk for the resulting onslaught. With Elena's dying breath, she tells David that she's always loved him. But alas, it's when he's the Hulk, so he has no memory of it. Sad and forever alone, David packs all his belongings into a small rucksack and walks off into the distance. They really hammer this track all throughout both episodes we watched.
It's out of control. Like, they really jam it down your throat, and it's very dramatic for what the show is.
It's like become the most generic sad moment music. I feel like that's been in so many things now.
Yeah,
when they is this where it originated?
I think so. Yeah. This is the sad walking away Hulk music.
The reason what makes me think that is that I remember there's a joke from Family Guy when Stewie's like, "Oh, hey, Brian, play the sad music from Family Guy," and he starts walking down the road with the backpack.
Sad music from the Hulk.
Yeah. What did I say?
From Family Guy.
Oh, my bad.
It's called The Lonely Man.
That is haunting. Yeah, it was really used at some interesting times, like some like action scenes where he's just like smashing shit up.
It's sad smashing. I do love the.
Is that what the notes on the script was? Sad smashing.
Sad smashing. We'll put the score in it. It'll make sense.
He can do angry smash and he can do sad smash.
Classic Freak Note.
Freak Note does not have range.
So one speed.
Have you the opening sequence of like his like life with his wife is so weird. I have no idea what's going on.
Don't you think it was crying out for a sex scene? It was kind of weird that they did everything but like they just spent their whole time together.
It was something that like a spoof movie would have, like these like overly cheesy scenes that like hard cut to just some like, it's like really uncomfortable.
So if you're trying to imagine it at home or wherever you are, it's kind of like
the Team America love montage.
Yeah, or like no, like the opening scene from Up, except in real life.
It's kind of
except just exactly what it is. Except replace all the endearing things with like just really strange cheesy things that don't quite make sense.
And it goes for about 4 minutes. It's very long.
It's too long.
It really is like just the most generic love montage they could possibly scrounge together.
They could have,
and they live in like a cabin in the woods, and they're just.
But the thing is, they could have done all that in 30 seconds.
Yeah,
and they did. And it, instead, it went for about 4 minutes.
I enjoyed it.
Did you also like at the end? So when she dies, what was her name again?
Mrs. Hulk.
Mrs. Hulk.
His wife.
Hulkett.
They're like kind of in the car driving along and looking at each other, and then she goes to like touch his face, and then the tire blows out. Just starts flipping, and obviously they didn't have they weren't flipping them when it cuts to the interior shot of the car.
Yeah,
it was just them like pretending to be upside down.
They just really didn't need the interior shots,
just bouncing around in their seats. Then he flies out of the door.
He's thrown
and as soon as he flies out, the door slams back shut.
Before we move past this, I have to quickly go back
to
the
car spits him out.
before we go past it, I have to quickly go back to the opening sequence. Did you notice though in all the lovemaking and all that sequence?
There's no lovemaking.
Whatever.
The closest they got was her riding on his car.
Actually, that was weird. There's a scene of like two young boys and one falls out of a boat. Do you guys notice that in the sequence?
No.
Yeah, there's a sequence. Like one of the clips inside that like sequence of their relationship is just like they're driving. Like, it's not even them. You don't even see them. It's just like two boys in a boat and one falls out. It's really strange.
That's
how did you guys not notice this? What? We'll have to go back. I have to go back and show you. But
I don't think that exists.
Yeah,
it definitely happened. Oh my god, I'm so mad at you guys. Anyway, back to the car spitting David Banner out. He's perfectly clear.
Yeah,
and the door slams back shut. Catches on fire, and then he runs back to try and flip the car over rather than try and open the car door. At no point does
he
attempt
that. And he only tries one door.
Yeah, the door that's like pinned down.
Yeah.
Try the other side.
It's some of the worst, like that sequence is like It's kind of like poetically put together, but like it's some of the worst editing we've seen since like the McLeod's daughters.
Yeah.
Exploding cow exploding situation. Cow. Yeah, if you haven't heard that, go back and listen to our episode of
Sex in the City.
Sex in the City?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
That makes sense.
I mean, the two shows are basically the same thing.
A late call up because we couldn't get McLeod's daughters. But that said, McLeod's Daughters was at least 20 years after this, you know?
Mm.
So you got to give it some credit.
Yeah, the start of this, along with the montage, was, I don't know, it was kind of very pensive. There wasn't much dialogue for like the first 15 minutes and barely any music as well.
Are you talking when we cut away to the science facility?
Yeah.
It was sort of
a slow build.
And it was
I quite liked it.
Yeah, no, me too. It was really realistic. And the way that they were like interviewing these subjects and unearthing his trauma and like all these, like it was sort of grounded in plausibility, the way that he would dedicate his research to people that have got themselves out of these situations.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't very professional in that he was interviewing people that when he clearly has some issues himself.
Some trauma to it. Yeah.
When they just say that they've done it, he just storms off.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
What did I do wrong? I just came here because you asked me to.
Apart from like the creepy catcalling in the lab. It seemed quite modern in the way that it was structured, the first 20, 30 minutes.
It's well shot as well. Mm. Like, it's surprisingly, you know, I'm like, oh, this is actually really good. Because I think it's, if you compare it to like the $6 million Man, which is just completely unpalatable, this is like, I'm actually enjoying this.
It's thrown from the
car. Have we got it?
Yeah. The one thing that was really funny though, that I got a good chuckle out of it, I know it's just kind of stupid, but when she's like walking past and just talking to all the different scientists, is that one with the pipe?
Yeah. Like,
really just dial him up to 11.
Wait, was he the one that's like, hey, you've been working out?
Yeah, I think
and
so.
She's like,
Jerry, I always knew I liked you. Hey, why don't you run away with me to Acapulco?
Oh, well, how about someplace more exotic?
Bermuda.
What about the Mayo Clinic?
Yeah.
what's
the Mayo Clinic?
It's like a world-renowned hospital.
Okay.
Yeah. Because he's a...
They're doctors.
Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not medical doctors.
They're researchers.
Researchers.
Okay. Yeah, that bit was very 70s.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it was a very solid start.
Yeah, and just like well-shot sequences. But jumping ahead a little bit, that whole one-minute scene when he actually goes, when he's just, he works out, oh, it's the gamma rays is what we'll think.
The exposition?
Yeah.
What we're going to talk about?
High gamma each time.
I kind of enjoyed it. Like, it's that slow build up. Like, as he's sitting down, and then just kind of nothing really happened.
This happened a couple of times in the first episode, though. Once when that was happening, and once when they were trying to do tests to recapture him turning into the Hulk. The first one with the gamma rays, he's like inexplicably talking to himself. Gamma rays.
Oh, yeah, that. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe there was a spike, and it's just really bizarre. And then when he's falling asleep and having the nightmare, she's like, oh, he's having a nightmare. But then she gets out the voice recorder and starts, and that would have been like such a more normal way to do exposition than just say, it looks like he's having a nightmare.
Mm. Yeah.
It was they were the couple of points where it fell down.
I don't think people really do that in TV shows anymore because they drop another character in who just does not matter at all.
But people don't do that though. When do you ever just like talk to yourself about what's happening around?
Oh, yeah. No. But I'm just saying like they don't do that in television. I feel like they don't do that in television anymore where people talk to themselves and work problems out. They just throw in another character that doesn't matter for them to talk to.
Yeah.
But like the character doesn't actually serve anything apart from just a logical reason to get people to say things to other people.
But they had all of these other characters that they embedded in the story early on that
but they're trying to keep a secret, Jez. Yeah. They're trying to keep it between them.
Of the gamma rays.
I don't know. I didn't mind it. I haven't seen it in so long that it's like, okay, it was a bit of a throwback. Yeah.
But there was this other like off-screen scientist who put all these tape points on all of the dials.
Well, I want to talk about the research machinery. Because there's the electronic microscope, which normally goes up to 200,000.
Yeah.
But some guy just souped it up.
Yeah.
He didn't say anything. Just puts a bit of tape that just says 1 million.
Is he just like
a dial?
Oh, Ben did it.
Is he just like a mechanic?
Yeah. I think it was...
Chucked in a turbocharger.
Nitrous.
Goes up to 1 million now, mate. Check it out.
Not bad.
I think you'll find that it was actually Tim Allen when he was trying to soup up the dishwasher.
So he soups up the microscope and then... Banner doesn't realize that he also souped up the X-ray machine.
Even though it has the same tape mark.
Same tape, but no writing.
Oh.
That's
he didn't know.
But he thought that was
still
standard...
turned it up to max.
I don't know, this is the tape mark that comes with the machine.
Yeah, obviously. You can just custom fit whatever max setting you want. as many gamma rays as you can handle.
The gamma ray scene was great.
2 million.
Like him strapping himself into the machine and like pivoting it around.
I
really enjoyed the scene. Yeah. That's why I was like, oh, this is the production values. This is good. But I want to talk about the series of inconvenient things that made him a little bit pissed off to then That to me, I'm like, this is like, as it's all happening, I'm like, I figured like, because he gets out, it's raining, and he's kind of annoyed about it, the rain.
Which he doesn't realize until he steps in it, despite the fact it's the heaviest goddamn rain you've ever seen. He's like,
starts the cut.
Come on, you stupid.
And then the tire blows out for like no reason, and he gets out.
Tire's much shitter in the 70s. It's three tire blowouts in the first half an hour.
Yeah.
But honestly, when that happens, I figured that when he's driving down there and it's wet, he just loses control of the car, and that's something like that happens. Or, but it's no, it's just walks out, raining still. and then he's just trying to clip the tire and just absolutely blows a gasket. A gasket?
Gasket.
Yeah, gasket. Appropriate turn of phrase. Changing a tire.
Yeah, just changing a tire.
But yeah, I think that was actually good because it shows how on edge he was. There was just something that. Just a little thing that flipped him off.
Yeah,
and then he flips out and he does like the double fist all over the car.
Yeah.
The classic Hulk double fist. Boom.
Yeah, the Hulk double fist. That was...
He just smacks both his fists down.
Yeah.
Does that all over the car till it is to catch on fire and then flips it over
it down the hill.
Honestly, have you guys ever changed a tire in the wet? Well, let me tell you.
Only once. And it didn't go well.
I have out in Bacchus Marsh of all places, and I was like right on a freeway, and I could hear it was totally flat, and it was raining, and I just was, and then I became the Hulk, flipped the car, and I was stranded out there. So,
hitchhiking on the Western freeway.
I was hitchhiking.
The music playing.
Well, I was going to say I was hitchhiking, but I believe there was some music in the background. There I was, just like clothes all ripped, cars just. In a ditch there, and
did you manage to inexplicably pack all of your things inside a small duffel bag? Just all of your stuff.
Yes, I did.
Interesting,
unbelievable. Anyway, that really happened, except for the flipping of the car and me becoming the Hulk. I just had to.
But you were,
and it was
mad.
It was a light drizzle, to be honest.
Still annoying though. Pretty angry.
Really frustrating. Yeah. Like, you know, but changing tires annoying at the best of times. In the wet, oh man. Do you think though? After he breaks the car down, throws it down the hill, real pissed off. Do you think then, after he comes to, finds his car destroyed, he then just turns back in the Hulk again because his car's been wrecked?
Damn.
Who did this?
Petra's like, just can't break out of it. I want to stop being Hulk. Hulk again.
It's just a constant chain of... You'd probably
and then when
get
he,
out of it.
When he comes back to from being Hulk, he sees his jeans are all ripped and he's
like... My favorite jeans.
Best pair of jeans.
They perfectly showed off my bulge. They're so tight.
So tight.
Do we even need to talk about the fact that his shirt rips every time, the bottoms of his jeans rip, but never the top of the jeans. The top of the jeans never rip.
His waist stays exactly.
Nobody
the
wants to see Hulk dick.
Lou Ferrigno's dick.
I mean, maybe that's where the science works. It kind of sucks in there. That's where all the testosterone fires up the rest of his muscles.
So what's
also,
in there?
I think they're too afraid to show Lou Ferrigno's dick because it wouldn't be aligned with the idea of hulking up because of all the steroids.
Oh, okay.
So it's shrunk right down when the rest of him's so huge. Like, wait, wouldn't Hulk's dick be big? But
you don't think it would?
Well, it depends. It should be big, but because of the limited special effects budget, they'd have to use Lou Ferrigno's dick, which would be tiny because of the steroids.
Oh, okay. You could get a dick double?
You could get a dick double, yeah. Just cut away to
dip it in green paint.
Just
get a green condom.
They didn't have the money for a prosthetic dick?
No, they didn't exist in the 70s.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Can we talk for a quick second?
That's what makes the Marvel Hulk more superior. The prosthetic dick.
Prosthetic dick. Very realistic.
Perfect.
Well, it's a CGI dick, isn't it?
Yeah, they got a guy working around the clock on that.
Yeah, exactly. So. Just tweaking the dick. I want to talk for a second about the journalist Jack McGee.
I love Jack McGee.
He's great.
Classic journalist.
Yeah. Just hiding in bushes, chain smoking in a bush.
Yeah. He's right up there with like the also Marvel, but like that journalist from Spider-Man. No. There's another one who's like trying to find. The boss.
The boss with J.K. Simmons?
Crap. Make
it
crap.
It's like that. Yeah.
It's like P. Peter Peterson or something like that.
Jack
McGee. My favorite Jack McGee moment of the whole episode is
giant plaster cast of a foot. He carries around.
Where did he get that from? Where did he tell me that?
Now that's a plaster cast of a footprint they found near the car. There were many of them in the mud.
Just carrying around.
No, it's one of
case.
It's one of the times he's following.
And, but why is he automatically assuming that these people have something to hide?
Yeah, he's really like, good well, at
how
for
explain
them.
This.
I catch you
carrying that around.
Was it when he's following? Was
really
one,
journalist?
There's one scene where he's following David around, and he's like, oh yeah, you got something to hide. And he's like, I'm not talking to you. And then he goes, oh, I'll find it. And he just gets a pair of sunglasses out. And they're huge.
Those
and they
sunglasses.
Are very clearly women's sunglasses. they are enormous.
Ginormous.
It's like he's wearing, like, it's like he got a set piece from the Elton John biopic because they're out of control.
The 70s morgues. It's a hell of a time.
I want to go back then. I want to be able to wear those. I can't pull those sunglasses off now. They're great.
It's a hell of a time.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about as well about after he hulks up and then he confronts that family in the woods and, you know, throws the dad into the water.
What's the plan there? He sees this
little girl.
Girl
just walks up behind her.
Fishing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Walks up behind her and she goes to swing the rod back. And smacks him in the chest. And then he just kind of like reaches
Jeez,
out towards her.
That'd be terrifying.
Yeah.
Oh my God. bit of a homage to Frankenstein.
And then she gets in the boat and tries to row away. And he's like, I'll just pick up this giant tree and wave it around and like throw it into the water.
Who's trying to save her?
To try to rescue her rather than just walk in.
Maybe he doesn't know if he can swim.
I'll throw a tree at him.
Also, all the paint's going to come off.
That's true.
But yeah, I like that the dad's response as well is his daughter's drowning. So shoot the other guy. Don't try to save your drowning daughter.
No, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Did you hear me? Don't get away.
Priorities.
Yeah.
But after that, he de-hulks and, you know, starts to calm down again. I don't know about you guys, but personally, I would then, waking up disorientated, clothes ripped, not knowing how you got anywhere, personally, I would go straight to a coworker's house. That's just me.
I thought you were going to say, you'd assume that you just had a massive night out.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've all been there.
Oh,
we've all woken up in the woods with ripped clothes.
Yeah.
And a bullet in there. And a bullet in your arm. Yeah.
Dead deer next to you, blood dripping down your mouth.
Yeah. That's called Saturday night.
Oh, no, Sunday, not again.
Sunday morning.
Yeah, in him going to his coworker's house, that was my favorite line of the episode, when he was explaining how he made the discovery about the gamma rays and then decided to have them injected into himself. And he was like to his doctor friend,
I tried to call you, but you weren't here and I was anxious.
Like, this is your fault.
Yeah. when he's calling her, it rings three times and he gives
he's
up.
Like, ah, just give me the gamma
rays. It's the 70s. It's not like she hasn't got a mobile. She's got to run to the other side of the house. Three rings. He's like, ah, that's it. No, I'm hulking.
I'm going to hulk. Do we want to jump into the final episode of The Incredible Hulk?
Perhaps we should.
I do believe so, yes.
The finale of The Hulk opens with David wandering into an abandoned town. He meets a woman named Patty, who works at a research lab and reveals there has been an E. coli outbreak.
Look, we both know that it wasn't chlorine. It was bacteria E. coli.
E. coli?
The lab owner, Cunningham, is trying to cover it up. Meanwhile, a group of looters make their way into the town to take advantage of the situation.
Oh, Rita. You had some good ideas in your time, but this one beats all.
David and Patty get into a scuffle with the looters, and David goes full Ferrigno, turning into the Hulk. The looters hoon off, and when David and Patty find them, two of them have died from the E. coli.
E. coli.
E. coli.
Meanwhile, Cunningham and his cronies are cleaning up the town in an attempt to cover everything up. David and Patty have a showdown with them at the lab, and David releases the Hulk, and they're able to escape with the evidence. And finally, the series ends on the signature sad piano and David walking off into the distance.
Here's what I want to know. Does every episode open with like five minutes of just
Hulk?
No, just 5 minutes of no dialogue, just action, and then end with David Banner just walking off on the road somehow with a new pair of pants, even though he's got the smallest duffel bag in the world to carry his clothes, and he's hulking out every 10 minutes.
100 pairs of pants in there.
It's ridiculous.
It's like a bottomless bag.
I certainly hope so, because I really enjoyed that first. It was about 8 minutes at the start.
It's madness.
That episode.
No one.
So good.
He's just walking around.
Yeah, it was
good.
I hope it's every episode, although I kind of hope it's not, because I want to make a TV show where that's a thing.
Yeah.
It was just like someone walking around.
Extended, no dialogue intros. It reminded me a lot of $6 Million Man.
Oh. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, there was a bit of that.
The last episode of $6 Million Man when they go into the deserted town.
Yeah.
Isn't that the first one?
Yeah, it was the first line.
Yeah,
the last one.
No, the last one's the one we don't talk about anymore.
What happens in the last one?
It's the Russian collaboration.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
man, that show got bad.
Yeah,
yeah, it did.
Because the first one was like a two-parter of how he became the $6 million man, and then it was walking into the with the radio sound thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I think with the $6 million man, we didn't watch the TV movie that led into him being the $6 million man. This one that we did watch, actually, I think it is the TV movie.
Yeah, we watched the TV movie.
Because we should have probably specified, but the first episode was 1 hour and 35 minutes long.
It was long. It was very long.
Enjoyable.
Yeah.
But long.
But this finale was not that bad either. I enjoyed it.
It made me wonder why it was cancelled. I think.
Well, yeah, it was the 7th episode of the 5th season. They pulled the pin.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. But it's a few shows, like even the $6 million man was similar to this, and Welcome Back Kotter, similar as well, where the shows don't seem to have a tie up. It's just like, just keep going.
Just an episode.
And then, it's done. Yeah. So I don't think there's any, I mean, it was probably different back then because there's less networks, no streaming. So things just kind of don't have a set run. It's just like, we'll keep making episodes until we just don't.
Until people lose interest.
Yeah. So this is probably what happened here. So, because, you know,
if this was every episode, was he wanders into an event, hulks out, saves the day, and then wanders off again with his rucksack full of jeans.
With sad music.
People will be like, all right, we get it now.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Which, you know, probably seems like that was the basic formula of what they were going for each time.
It doesn't really seem like he's going to... Like surely it's kind of like Quantum Leap where he's like, he's trying to figure out a way to not be the Hulk anymore.
Right? I think so.
I thought so. Yeah. But his doctor friend that was helping him dies in the telly movie.
Yeah, which is kind of a part of the whole thing is that he's now trapped as this way and he has to work it out himself.
Trapped with his secret.
Don't you think they kind of they cut off what would have been an interesting dimension to the story by just killing her off straight away?
Yeah. Mm. I liked. I liked
surely there would have been some other sustained love interest throughout. Not necessarily, not
but
love interest,
but she
just
had the,
partners,
but even just, the double dynamic of being a love interest who also worked
him.
In his field and could save him and,
and
knew all of his secrets.
Yeah.
And,
but I think that kind of gives that first episode a lot more flair, the fact that she dies. Yeah, the love interest and the person that can help him the most is gone straight away.
Even as the Hulk, he couldn't save her.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Trapped. Dun.
Our investigative journalist friend didn't pop up in this episode.
No, McGee.
We had some Goonies who were great. Some Goons.
Boy, that guy's shirt was so loud.
Yeah.
He was pink popping out my eyeballs.
I don't know. I'm not a chemist. I'm not a scientist. Be the first.
No,
one
don't
to
tell yourself.
First
short.
To admit it. E. coli.
E. coli.
Doesn't that kind of just give you diarrhea?
I think it can kill you.
Okay.
But I don't know how like it works. It's like an airborne toxin or something.
In two hours.
It's
like worse than Ebola.
Yeah, it is.
E. coli.
Okay. We have the Hulk to save for stopping that one. Now I feel like we're
lesions on your hands.
Dancing around the real issue. I know, Morgan. I can see your heart breaking inside the dog.
Buddy. Oh, man. I was inconsolable last night when I watched this.
So, dogs don't take well to E. coli. Yeah.
So Banner is wandering around and he sees a dog just gnawing on some chicken that was left over from a picnic.
Gives it to him.
Gives him.
Naturally.
Yeah, takes the bone away. Gives him a cuddle. He's a good boy.
Yep.
Ah, buddy. Well, buddy, I wish you could talk and tell me where everybody in this town is.
And then he gets sick.
And then he gets sick.
Have you guys ever seen that really ugly cry thing on YouTube? Dial it up by 100. That was me last night. I was flipping tables. My girlfriend had to like rock me to sleep last night. It was pretty bad.
Just smashing up
not
your
since,
car.
Not since Captain Planet have I been this upset. So.
Were you just...
it was rough.
Double closed fist on the top of your...
I honestly can't remember.
Surface you could get now?
I blacked out and my shirt was ripped and my jean pants were just turned into shorts perfectly. And I woke up in a creek. It was bizarre.
Because of your huge calves. It's just
a massive
circular
calves,
rip right around there. I liked in this episode they showed the aftermath of like him having to get back into Bruce. Like, oh, God damn it. Like tucking his pants. Doing his belt back up.
Yeah.
Coming out from behind the bush. And something that happens in every episode where he's just someone's like, oh, did you see that green guy?
Yes, I was gonna bring this up.
And he's like,
oh yeah, man, that was
so unfazed.
That creature, he's like, oh, did it hurt anyone?
They all got away.
Boy, there's no telling how many people they could infect.
We don't have much time, do we?
Okay, well then we won't worry about it then.
And then why are you
putting your clothes back on? Where did you go?
Yeah.
Let's forget about the E. coli.
I was taking a shit
it's
behind
this giant
me.
Giant green man.
Yeah, exactly. Why are your clothes slightly different? Like, But I do love, like, I do love it that same in $6 million man. Every time you have any sort of action sequence with the Hulk, they just make it all go in slow motion because it's the only way it looks more dramatic.
When he throws a cannon across a park.
Yeah,
and there's a big pile of cannonballs.
The cannonballs are right there.
Why he throws a park bench at the car instead of just
shatters.
If he just whiffs some cannonballs at the car, he'd do some serious damage. You know
it would.
You'd take that sucker out, but no, he throws it like
this is the
really breakable park bench.
Because in the first episode, Elena is saying, like, because David's really worried about, like, I could have killed somebody, right? Like, it's this monster. Like, it's not me, so I can't control it. And she's like, no. There's, like, a part of you that's, like, left inside of, you know, when the Hulk emerges.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't kill someone. So maybe with the cannonballs, he wouldn't.
What if they were bad guys, though?
Well, I don't think it matters. I think it's like Batman. I think it's like he doesn't kill. You know?
Throw it at the wheel of the car. Slow the car down.
He's dumb though.
But if they're leaving, like, what does it? How does it help their situation to kill them?
I don't know.
Well, it doesn't even matter. Like, they all real mad. They're aside from the whole.
Yeah, exactly. Like, let them go.
Yeah. Two out of three of them die 5 minutes later. Anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Well, there's the other guy
gorging themselves on chocolate cake, and then the one who survives picks up a plate off the ground and starts eating it.
Yeah, I know.
When they're about to get out with all the stuff they've looted, they're like, "Oh, you guys want to grab a quick bite of
like a park food,
deserted park food?"
I want to talk about the chase sequence that went for way too long in the lab.
Oh, man.
I
thought it was
Patty.
I thought it was on loop.
Yeah, it was so weird. It just kept... And she is just screaming bloody murder. Like, it's very, like... Like, it's super dramatic for what is, like, a guy in his 60s chasing her. I'm like, I feel like you'd have him really covered.
Mm. Except for wearing the heels.
Oh!
That would be a big hindrance.
Why doesn't she, like, change her shoes?
They save her at one point. When she's getting wrestled by the goons and she's...
Stomps on foot. They're a weapon. That's true.
Still, like, it's not really utilitarian.
Just take one of them off.
Yeah,
for the eyes with the heels.
She chose to stay. She chose to stay in town, and you reckon you could have changed out of the flares and the heels. It's gone something a little more practical.
Well, she had enough time to load a rifle up. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Just put some boots on.
Mm. But that sequence is just so long. It's like, man, because I kept looking back at the screen like. There was only a few minutes ago this episode. I'm like, this has been going for like 3-4 minutes now. Like,
we kind of they run out of stuff to do in the episode.
I think
I guess.
So. At the very end,
we're gonna fill out 45 minutes,
and then
I guess like there's some goons and maybe there's like a chase.
Did you see? Aaron pointed this out, and I completely missed it while we were watching it. But just the guys in the hazmat suits, one of them is just his nose is just so far pressed into his face.
I saw that.
It's like, ridiculous.
It's way too small.
It's tiny. It's so
it's
small.
Like a child's helmet.
They clearly couldn't afford another one, and he must be so uncomfortable every scene.
Well, they spend 90% of the budget on green paint.
Yeah,
and jeans.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. I had that written down. Oh, Jesus Christ. It's like, could I get a bigger suit?
No. Well, we can go smaller though.
So I guess it's safe to say that a lot of this show is just based on that episode and based on the original one. As we discussed, it's really just him walking into a situation, hulks up, people seem to not notice that he's there, and just sort of slowly goes away, and then it's sad music.
Very much. I wanted to talk about one episode I think was a double that became like a famous sort of spin-off movie.
Whoa.
It was the Bride of Hulk or something. Did you guys look up that?
Whoa.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Yeah. And it won like Emmys.
What?
I think he goes to Hawaii, and there's a researcher there that's researching the same sort of stuff, and something happens. I don't really know what goes on. But apparently it's a really famous double episode from it.
Yeah, right.
Mm.
No?
That sounds very... As Morgan mentioned before, Frankenstein.
The Bride
inspired.
Of the Incredible Hulk. A two-parter.
Interesting. Well, I mean, all things considered, if you compare this to $6 Million Man, which is around the same sort of time, this is
leagues above,
worlds better. Like, this is actually pretty decent. I kind of enjoyed both episodes. Yeah. I mean, there was the second one. There was parts where it was like, this is a bit thin. Like the whole thing with the guy's nose and everything like that.
Well, did you notice?
I spent 12 minutes on that.
Exactly.
Just a slow zoom on the nose.
The other,
it's all a big joke.
The other thing I should have mentioned as well is they toned down the Hulk makeup from apparently the first season. It was really intense.
Mm. Okay,
like 3 hours every time.
Yeah, he's got a big furrowed brow.
Yeah, but I mean, not, a huge brow.
Yeah, yeah.
And it looks kind of the same. Like I don't really know what the makeup is.
Yeah.
It's a brow that he's got like weird hair.
Yeah, it's like his literally
hair is so bad.
Yeah, I don't see the point of putting a wig on. That apparently, seems like completely redundant.
So he's got white, for some reason he's got white contacts.
Yeah.
And Lou Ferrigno could only wear them for like 10 or 15 minutes at a time because they're so painful to wear.
Really?
Oh my God. Yeah,
it's the 70s. They're just pieces of glass.
Yeah.
They just,
oh God.
I find that kind of funny. There must have just been so much of the budget went into really poor practical effects, because you notice in the second episode as well, when he transforms in a shop to the Hulk and runs out to save her, but just when he's running out of the shop for no reason, he just like smashes half of a wall and like all this glass and stuff. It's like they've got to have all these destructibles around him,
yeah,
to make the impact of him being the Hulk.
Well, I wonder what, like in the first episode when he smashes up the car, like they would have, I assume, would have had to have custom made that car so things could crumple and break.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, because otherwise, I mean,
I thought they were gonna like shrink down the car, go like
just a half
size,
stomp,
you know,
on it.
But they do really like tight zooms on panels, and then just him smashing the panels.
Yeah,
that could just be, you know, anything, foil.
Yeah,
it's the same when he jumps back into the lab to save her. He knocks like some of the concrete out around the. The window so that you can get through more easily and also to have some, I don't know, they must have just wasted so much money on creating destructible things for Lou Ferrigno to punch.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's the show.
That's pretty much the show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Him and then the classic camera shot of they just look straight up to the sky and have something fly across.
Yeah, yeah. If you're just the tossing shot. A man 30 feet, 30 yards.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
And in slow motion.
Fly across the camera.
Do you guys think it was actually like a like scathing commentary on the patriarchy, like a man?
Just, like masculinity. Sort
yeah,
of.
Yeah. Because it seems like whenever he just unleashes his rage, it's just like the downfall of the woman he's with. So just like every episode, he's just.
I don't think it is probably. I mean, there's definitely that element. I don't think it's done that intentionally though.
I think that's vintage Ferrigno Morgan.
Yeah, you're right. He was ahead of his time.
From the first episode,
Hulk smashed the patriarchy. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
It actually seemed like there was a bit of thought put into it. So maybe there's more nuance to the
potentially
the writing than we're giving it credit for. Mm.
I mean, it was
the 70s,
and it was Lou Ferrigno smashing up cars.
It's essentially just a show about a giant
green man.
It can
be both of those things, though.
It can be both.
Why not? It's just Hulk smash and cutting social commentary.
He's just an angry dude anyway. So like. You know, it's not like it just comes out in like the Hulk.
Yeah,
it's like it's all sort of leading towards that.
Mm.
Mm. I like some it.
Anger management issues.
Mm.
He needs to.
Yeah, he's real. He's got a hair trigger.
Carry an umbrella with him.
It's sort of weird how like the
what's that seasonal affective disorder
when you're just
bummed out by the weather.
Yeah,
but he's just got dialed up to a million.
Doesn't that just
kind
of mean that you get depressed in winter?
Yeah.
You smash up your car every time it rains.
Yeah.
I went through three cars driving here today. Every time I had to turn the wiper on, I'm like, double fist the bonnet, flip it down an embankment.
Mm. Good thing you're sponsored by Mazda.
Mm.
Sorry, I also want to mention cars exploding.
Oh, yeah. That's
like
the thing.
Morgan, when you had a flat tire in Bacchus Marsh, did your car explode?
After I flipped it over, yeah.
Okay, good.
Well, there's...
That means it's wired correctly.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if it had just landed and just like thudded there and nothing happened, then I would have been
then
worried.
You would have been really mad.
Oh, you would have been really pissed off.
Especially when it's just rolling down like a grassy
hill. Yeah.
It wouldn't...
They just...
And comes to rest, you know, quite safely at the bottom. It doesn't land on a bunch of jagged rocks.
No, but that car in the first episode had it, like the one that spat him out. That was it. That was out to get him, that car.
That's true. Mm. That's true, it was. And also the safety standards, I guess, are much, much lower back then.
Mm, true.
They were just death straps on wheels.
Ticking time bombs.
Just iron caskets driving around.
Yep.
Should we move on and reboot this bad boy?
Reboot.
Yes, please. I want to get in because I'm terrified that somebody else is going to have the same reboot. So... It's going to be real simple. I'm going to reboot The Incredible Hulk as a video game. It's going to be... I'm sure there is already an Incredible Hulk video game, but this one's going to be a side-scroller like Mario. But instead of David Banner growing really, really large when he gets angry, he's going to grow really, really small when he gets sad. So instead, we're going to have the incredible Sulk, which essentially he's just got to go through like a Mario type level while there's just like big like feet coming in and like going when he's got to get to the other side. And yeah, just people like hurling insults at him and stuff, you know, just that sort of thing.
I could see.
Did you make this music?
No, I found it somewhere.
It's great.
Yeah, it's great.
I can see people just getting hooked on this and then it having horrendous impacts on their mental well-being.
Oh, yeah.
Just bummed out all the time.
Well, this music sort of reminded me of like Braid. You ever played Braid before?
No.
Sort of like a kind of... It's like a Mario side-scroller type sort of thing, but it's got a bit of a dark twist to it. I won't give it away because it's a really good game, but... very fun. Anyway, that's my review.
Incredible Sulk.
The Incredible Sulk.
Incredible Sulk.
Jeremy.
All right. So I had two. One of them.
No, both the Incredible Sulk as well.
No, one of them was the Incredible Yolk.
Oh, yeah.
But Yolk.
Yolk. Like, yeah, you really got to ham up the Yolk.
Yolk. Basically, it depends how you want to take it, but the idea Sunny that I had was that it was a celebrity chef who runs like a cooking show and then... whenever they find themselves with only one egg for a recipe and they need two and they get really angry, they crack the egg and there's actually two yolks in there.
Oh, nice. Nice.
That's kind of it.
Jez, this sounds very similar to...
I've done egg-based two yolk before.
Two yolk Earl or whatever it was.
There's Jeremy's egg suite of reboots.
She loves eggs. Like Frank
eggs,
from Toy Sunny.
Eggs, toast...
Yeah, I'm a big breakfast
you
guy. Have,
yeah, TIS reboot themed breakfast restaurant.
But the one I went
it's
with
bit,
was
it's a breakfast bed and breakfast.
Basically, it starts off with a struggling comedian at an open mic night, and there's a hold up, and the guy holds a gun to
you know when you hold up a comedy show.
I don't know. He goes, I don't know.
Give me money.
Someone freaks out and gets a gun
cashed
out,
up,
holds it to his girlfriend,
comedians.
And he has to tell her a joke. In order to save her, but he can't think of one on the spot. So she dies. So then he starts doing all this research into how people can perform stand-up under pressure. And he realizes that he's got the requisite gene that all these people have, mm-hmm. but he lacks the comedy aspect. He's not funny enough. So what he does is he rigs himself up to this machine where he goes to inject... 10 Netflix stand-up specials directly into his brain, but he accidentally dials it up to 10 million. So then from there on out, whenever he's nervous and under pressure, he turns into Rodney Dangerfield and just starts doing one-liners. And it's called The Incredible Jerk. Doesn't actually work. I had Rodney Dangerfield in my head because of that classic... who's the other one? Like Bob Hope? That kind of stand-up style.
Just hold a golf club. And
Can't get no regard.
Yeah. Anyway, The Incredible Joke.
Nice.
We should do the list of the week.
List of the week. This list of the week from IMDb comes from user Bane 514248442156 14.
Boom. Could you say that again? I didn't catch the last.
I think it was their credit card number.
Okay.
That's how IMDb lists work.
Yeah,
in order to pay for the privilege, you have to publicly advertise your credit card details. This one is Happy Gilmore remake cast.
Oh. Okay, I can see what's happening.
Rebooting
Happy
Gilmore. What do you mean you can see what's happening?
Well, we know where it's going.
The ride itself.
Lou Frick knows Mr. Larson.
Well, obviously Lou Frick knows Mr. Larson. Well, let's see who's happy then.
Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider is not in this one. Good. I'll tell you who is. Chris Pine.
Ooh.
He's playing Happy.
Interesting.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
Don't know about that.
What about old Shooter McGovern? He is from the Marvel Universe. Mr. Shooter.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, is it Robert Downey?
It is.
I was actually going to get Robert Downey.
Someone has clearly just watched The Avengers and then Happy Gilmore in one night and they're like,
let's put the two together.
Who's Chubbs?
Peter Samuel L. Jackson. Is Derek Luke.
I don't know.
He played Antoine Fisher in the movie with Denzel Washington.
Okay.
That's all I know him from. We also have, I think, Otto, Happy's homeless caddy.
Yep.
That's pretty obvious.
Zach Galifianakis?
Correct. Yeah. Someone writes itself. Grandma. Another TIS favorite.
Betty White.
Betty White, yeah. Yes. You probably won't get, guess Virginia, Jessica Biel.
Okay.
Mm. And you know Bob Barker's role?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're reprising someone to play a role like Bob Barker, but playing themselves.
Oh, Larry Emder.
No. And he's not a TV personality. Mm. He's Stephen King.
What? What?
Well, that doesn't work.
Stephen King beats up Chris Evans at a celebrity golf
tournament. Yeah, just like...
Just gets real...
Punches him in the face like The Shining, bitch.
Just gets jacked on coke and then starts beating him to death.
So it could be that. What's that guy that everyone hates who is on... he's always got the crazy reaction to...
The guy from Family Feud?
Yeah.
Grant Denyer.
No.
American one. Steve Harvey?
Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey would be good in that.
There's always a setup.
Stephen King is a poor choice.
The response to be ridiculous, and then when it's ridiculous, he like flips his lid. Yeah. Even though it's the most. Anyway,
Stephen King's nonsensical. Steve Harvey makes complete.
I think everyone
sense.
Hates him now.
And the very last one. So we've got 9 people in this cast. Yeah. One of Happy's mates, who's a golfer. He kind of gives in tips.
Oh yeah, feel the flow, Happy.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah,
he's great.
Yeah, he's played by Christopher Nolan.
Okay, that makes sense.
The director.
Yeah. No.
Well, he's directing it. It's a bit of a cameo. So.
Yeah.
I mean, there's bits and pieces in there that make a bit of sense, but for the most part, no.
It's got legs, though.
Wow. Well, I could see Lou Ferrigno as Mr. Larson.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's...
Do you reckon it would, like, in Hulk, get up?
Yeah. When he gets shot with the nail gun.
Yeah. had to get the ball off the Hulk's fat foot. I believe that belongs to Mr. Pine.
Your nail comes out next week. You can barely notice it. Oh, dear. Well, okay. In wrapping this one up, would you guys watch any more of The Incredible Hulk?
I am interested to watch
The Bride of Hulk.
After Jez's little spiel with the Emmys.
You sold it well. Yeah. Sold it well.
The actress that plays the bride won an Emmy for it.
Mm.
And it's become like a standalone movie. It was the first 2 episodes of season 2, I believe.
Yeah. Okay.
Interesting.
Well,
yeah.
And it's set in Hawaii.
I would be interested.
Well, it's great. I mean,
I'd be interested to see the format as well, because I want to know if every episode finishes with him just getting out of there and hitchhiking or something. He's not just walking, right? He's hitchhiking anyway. And opens with like five to 10 minutes of no dialogue.
He's not allowed any cars.
I want him to be hitchhiking.
The slightest inconvenience.
Then they get a flat.
They get a flat.
And then...
explodes through the back seat.
As you do.
Yeah. I probably won't be watching anymore, but I did thoroughly enjoy what we did watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
I sit in that camp as well.
Yeah, this was a pleasant surprise. Like, I enjoyed this. Kind of a little bit. I would be interested to see Bride of Hulk, but that's about it. But I don't actually see that happening.
I think that
the busy man.
The biggest letdown of it was the having to watch Lou Ferrigno for like 10 minutes every episode.
Yeah, it's like the actual story.
It's just like him just wandering around aimlessly trying to smash stuff and being a really poor actor.
Yeah. So do you reckon get him out?
Yeah.
Retooled a bit. Just Incredible.
Yeah. I don't know. There's other body Incredibles now. The guy that played the mountain, you know, he'd be good at it.
He would probably be your modern day Hulk, right?
Yeah. Because Lou Ferrigno's not that big. He's like 193 centimetres.
No, he's 6'5".
Yeah, which is
that 193 centimetres?
But in the 70s.
That's
6'5",
big for 70s,
is like 7'8".
Yeah. Exactly.
People were much shorter back then.
Yeah, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He was only 6'1".
Yeah.
It's a different league back then.
The guy that played David Banner was... 5'2".
Yeah.
And he was considered a tall man.
Tall man with tight pants.
Oh, yeah.
That's my main
takeaway. Only around the crotch and upper leg.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Knee down, loose as you'd like.
We did mention as well, like, when he's hulking out, it's just, like, so clearly, like, inflating a balloon. Like, a thick rubber balloon through some very thin fabric. It's fantastic.
Dear.
And it's always the same shots. It's like back rips, bicep rips, calf rips.
You joke, it's the exact same every time.
It could be. Yeah.
He wears a lot of white shirts and dark blue denim.
It's always got in the bag.
Yeah. A lot of collar on those shirts. So. Yeah. A lot of collar. Anyway.
Basically Homer Simpson's wardrobe.
More or less. Except a little more, as I said, tight around the... Yeah. Tight in certain areas, loose in other ways. Where can people find us online, Scott?
You can head to theincompleteseries.com. You can see all of our other episodes. We've got quite a few now. Or you
in
can
the
head
50s, I believe.
We're in the 50s now.
It's pretty good. It's quite the catalogue.
Just like Lou Ferrigno.
Entering middle-aged.
Got to be older than that. You can also head to Facebook or Instagram, where the Incomplete Series, or head to Twitter, where we are Podcast TIS. So come get at us, you know?
Well, anyway, let's leave things there. This was fun. We should do it again more often.
We should.
We should. Cool. Well, anyway, thank you, Jez.
Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
And thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Morgan.